guys, this is Jimmy over at the Disney Nerds Podcast, and I just wanted to take a minute to talk to you about DVC Resale Market, a World of DVC company. DVC Resale Market is the leader in the DVC resale industry, with 13 former Disney Vacation Club guides and 3 former Disney Vacation Club quality assurance managers. If you're thinking of buying DVC, browse the largest selection of DVC resale listings anywhere with DVC experts on hand 7 days a week to answer any of your questions. If you're thinking of selling, turn to the friendly professionals at DVC Resale Market, where over 98% of listings sell within 30 days. Go to DVCResaleMarket.com or call 1-844-382-7767. Let them know that the Disney Nerds Podcast sent you.
Welcome to the splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome. Welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast, a place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
The Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the magical worlds of Disney.
Hello and welcome to show number 482 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. Hey guys, how's it going? And welcome back to the show. On this week's show, there's a lot of news going on in Walt Disney World, and we're going to bring you as much as we can in 45 minutes. To help me do that, I have Sam. Hey, Sam, how's it going?
Ed, what is up, man? It is so awesome to be back, and you are so right. There's so much happening at Walt Disney World. It just keeps coming and coming and coming and coming. So I don't even know what you've talked about in a while, but I'm here to let's talk it up, baby.
Yeah, so we're going to definitely touch base with a lot of the different things. And also helping us is Morgan. Hey, Morgan.
Hey guys, how's it going? I don't know about you, but I ran out of paper writing down everything that's going on.
I have a couple pages of notes. I was thinking the same exact thing. But it's a good thing because there's so many new things happening, and we're all getting ready for summer and for actually, believe it or not, the Halloween season. So let's go over some of these stories.
Wait, what? Halloween? Dude, it's not even spring back here in the north yet. You're talking about Halloween?
Oh, come on. This is the holiday surprise that we get this part of the year from now on.
It's the halfway to Halloween. I get it. See, yeah. I always looked at April 15th as being the darn tax day, but now April 15th has all of a sudden become halfway to Halloween. Okay, sure.
I'd rather celebrate halfway to Halloween than tax day.
Absolutely. So I'm good with replacing those 2 days.
Sure. Yeah. And this is the type of thing you're actually relaxing after the taxes got in, hopefully, for everybody.
Maybe that's it. Use your return to schedule the trip. And maybe that's why Disney did it. Use your refund to schedule the trip in October. There you go.
And they take advantage now. This is the second year in a row where they created this new kind of advertising holiday, similar to that Christmas in July or June that we
Well, halfway to the holiday now, Ed. They've moved that from July to June. So it's halfway to the holidays.
So they use this opportunity to announce the Halloween parties, which is crazy because the Halloween parties start August 11th and go through November 1st.
August 11th?
Right. So we're not even close to being in October, let alone September. We're starting our parties in the middle of the summertime.
Look, you're starting your parties when you're still doing summer vacations. You can go on a – think well, about it, right?
Everybody's going to be able to go.
When do you go back to school?
We go to school the end of August usually.
Okay, so you have 3 weeks that you can go to a Halloween party before you go back to school.
Yep.
I definitely have the opportunity for sure.
Wow.
Interesting. Very.
I was thinking the same thing because down here, you know, in the South, it's usually like around the 20th of August that school is starting down here. So, yeah, on your summer vacation, let's go see Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party.
You just have to imagine it's closer to the season as you're sweating with your costume as you're walking through the park.
That's exactly it. I mean, I can remember vacationing at the end of August, right before you got to fly home and the kids' first day of school, and they were putting up the Halloween decorations, but the party hadn't started yet. Now we're talking about the party starting.
Now, I tell you what, even saying that, though, I think that Jimmy might be planning on getting down there for another Halloween party in a big dress-up, so hopefully that happens.
Now, if he goes with his pirate costume and tries to be Mr. Smee again, I don't think that will count.
Oh, no, you can't do the same thing.
It'll be the same thing. No.
Because I think the last time he did, I don't know, one of the last times he did the Halloween party, me and Charlotte went with him and his son Wyatt, and we did a whole Peter Pan thing. So he mm-hmm. can't use Peter Pan.
No, yeah, no, no. I'm sure they won't. They'll do something cool.
So
cool. Different. They'll do something different. But I tell you what, they have a lot of other things too that came out today and yesterday as far as this halfway to the holiday thing for Halloween. The Disney Nerds podcast blog has all of these great articles up there now. One of them is about merchandise. One of them is about something that's kind of near and dear to my heart, and that's paper crafting. Because Disney last year or the year before released a bunch of paper crafting things for Main Street stores and storefronts and such like that. This time they released a bunch of stuff for Halloween, and it's the Haunted Mansion theme to it. And I'm very, very psyched.
Yeah, that's cool.
So looking forward to taking a look at that. It looks like they're colorized, which is a good thing because they don't normally are. But we will see. They're having some problems with the website the last day, and I'm hoping they get it straightened out. But looking now, good.
Do you also want to say, since we did talk about costumes, there is a whole line of costumes that they posted about. And honestly, like, the merchandise and the food is what got me with the post all week. The treats look amazing. The merchandise, I don't think my tax return is going to be big enough for the merchandise.
Is it food just in general for the Halloween season that you can get, or is it only at the Halloween party?
No, this is food you can get all the time. They did a Disney Eats post, which, nice. Again, we have on the DisneyNerdsPodcast.com. And just, I watched it or went through all the pictures, and every time they do a post, I just get hungry. I don't know why.
Sure. It was great. And it's everywhere. It wasn't just Disney World. This was Disneyland. This was Downtown Disney in California. It was
and Hong Kong Disney
parks, Hong Kong, and all the resorts as well.
Yeah.
Talk about that's awesome. And Ed, talk about the Disney marketing machine. They're also using this as an opportunity to start their media push for the Haunted Mansion movie that's coming to theaters in July.
Oh, yep. Right. Exactly.
Which is probably where the Haunted Mansion paper craft comes in, right? Because it's all part of that movie that's coming, which I've seen the trailers for, and it's hard to get me to a theater unless it's a Star Wars movie. So I might be waiting for Disney Plus, but that's
okay. I mean,
I'm hoping they do something at the parks to commemorate or celebrate it.
I'm sure.
In that regards, I'm looking forward.
Well, there'll be merchandise.
Now,
well, sure that.
I am a Haunted Mansion fan. So I've seen the trailer on the big screen for some of the movies. Ooh, I've seen
what was
lately.
It in front of? Doesn't matter. Sorry.
I think it was Mario Brothers.
I did see Super Mario 2, by the way.
Yeah.
Which, man, my kids are waiting for that thing down the street. Anyway.
But yeah, honestly, like, the trailer on the big screen made me more excited.
I could see that. Yeah.
Yeah. And since we are talking Haunted Mansion, one thing that I think is kind of cool for the halfway to Halloween is there's a Haunted Mansion book coming out, which, you know, with the Disney Nerds Book Club, you know,
nice.
Love the reading. It's the Haunted Mansion Storm and Shade, and it's by Claudia Gray, which Claudia Gray has been doing a lot of Star Wars books lately. Mm-hmm. So I've been reading a lot of her stuff. So I'm super excited because I already love her as an author, and now she's doing a Haunted Mansion book. Like, I'm all in.
Nice. I'm going to be curious to see what kind of book it is. A mystery, a history, a fiction type book. Obviously, it's nonfiction, but still, how is it going to be done? Or just totally tongue in cheek it and go total horror?
Well, go to our website and you can read an
expert. Oh, there you are. How about nice. That? I like that.
Okay.
See what we did there?
I saw that.
So yeah, what else do we have with Halloween? Is there anything else that we saw that we want to point out? Because I have something else we want to talk about, and it's really, really important.
All right, then. Okay. Halloween on the High Seas is coming back to Disney Cruise Lines, which is really cool. And there's a whole bunch of stuff on Disney Plus for halfway to Halloween, which is really interesting. Not just a Disney Plus, but Disney Channel, Hulu, Disney Plus, Freeform, Disney Now. They're just talking about all these great shows and movies on their networks.
Yeah.
Always looking for the next thing on Disney Plus.
There's been a lot of Star Wars lately, but we won't talk about that now.
Well, that's what we're going to talk about
next. Okay. Ooh, I didn't even
next,
know.
We're going to talk about Star Wars, because we also had some great announcements in the last couple of weeks. They had, what did they have in England? What was it called?
Star Wars Celebration London
2023.
Yes.
And they had some major announcements, which I'm kind of sad that they had them overseas, but I'm great to hear them what they are, though.
Yes.
So first of all, there's going to be three new movies. The first one is a continuation of the story, and we're going to see more of Rey.
Yep.
I got episode 10 out of that. I saw the big X overhead. That's a 10. That's episode 10, 11, and 12 that are coming, yep. Baby.
Now, the three movies they announced, however, only one of them would be so, like, say, part of that trilogy, only this one with Rey. They announced two other movies that have to do with the Star Wars theming. And the first one, I think, is going to be directed by Dave Filoni, did they say? And it's going to be like clone related.
That's pretty cool.
And I'm not sure what the third one was going to be about. Maybe Mandalorian or something like that. So we're going to see about that. So definitely three movies. Looking forward to it. And then they had a lot of announcements for Disney Plus. Some of those great Star Wars series are either coming back or there's going to be some new ones. Andor season 2 had been announced. Yeah. Which definitely going to be look forward to it, because I think that raised the bar for a lot of these type of series, any of the science fiction type
it
series.
It changed the genre, if you ask me. It added, just like The Mandalorian added Western, this was that spy drama that they promised, and it was good. Can't wait to see it.
Very cool. They have another one they announced called The Skeleton Crew. And I'm not 100% sure what this is going to be, but the real quick description describes it as a Goonies-inspired coming-of-age Disney Plus series starring Jude Law, who isn't coming of age. So I guess he's going to be either the leader or the bad guy or something like that, like in a role. And it takes takes place around the time of The Mandalorian. So we have an idea exactly where this is, too. So that's kind of cool.
Very cool.
Another one is coming up called The Alkalite, or The Acolyte. And that I don't know a lot about at all. I think maybe I saw that's going to be something about Wookiees in there, or Jedi Wookiees or something. And I didn't hear much about that. I have to do some more research. Did you hear anything?
There's been some speculation on that. I will go out on a limb and say we might be learning a little more about Count Dooku.
Oh, okay.
I'll leave it at that and let you do some homework. And we'll follow up on that later.
Right, no doubt. And they did do Dooku with those Jedi animations they had.
Yeah, those were the Jedi Tales, I think is what they were called.
And yes. Dooku was prominent in a couple.
He was.
So that makes sense. They dropped a trailer for Ahsoka, which is incredible. Oh. And we can't wait because we saw so much. Morgan, what did you like about that the best? Like, what really stood out?
Everything. I mean, not like one thing that I thought was really cool is it wasn't just Ahsoka. We saw Sabine, which was from Rebels. Mm-hmm. And I think Chopper was even in it. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, we got this tease of the search for Thrawn.
Yep.
And Thrawn is going to be played by Lars Mikkelsen, who...
Awesome.
Did the voice of Thrawn. So,
awesome.
So now, and we're already extrapolating because Ezra was with Thrawn. So maybe Ezra is going to come back.
Well, there was an Ezra hologram in that trailer. That was definitely Ezra.
So there's so many people coming to life, and Hera is coming to life.
Yep.
Hera, and we saw Zeb on Mando.
Right. We already saw
that's Zeb. The whole crew.
And Zeb was crazy good too.
Yes. Yes. For never being in live action and to see that character and go, oh my God, that's it. I mean, there was no doubt who it was.
It was really cool, right, to see him. We also got the announcement about the Bad Batch. And if you've been following it on Disney Plus, it just finished up a couple weeks ago, season 2. And it was a great cliffhanger. I still don't want to talk about it online yet. We will have a couple more weeks.
It was great.
But they announced there will be a third and final season of the Bad Batch. And I got to think, even if they say final, you might see the Bad Batch coming as like a guest star on some show that takes place in their time frame, Or maybe even some old men down the road. Who knows?
Absolutely. I mean, think about it. What was the Bad Batch? The Bad Batch was an extension of the Clone Wars. And that's, it all ties together. I mean, that all ties together on the timeline. And then everything else that you're talking about is Jon Favreau and Dave Filoni creating for Star Wars what they had done for Marvel. And this whole universe is going to come together. And I can't wait to see it because, Ed, I think it culminates with that third movie you were just talking about. That's the end of tying it all together, all the Mandos and the Ahsoka and the Book of Boba Fett, all that stuff.
That'd be great. I'd love to see that. I would love to see that. And then I think it might be tough going on TV if that does happen, but we will see. Before we finish up on Star Wars, we did hear that, and we kind of mentioned it earlier before, Tales of the Jedi, which is basically different stories about different Jedi that are very cool. They put extra pieces of the puzzle together for us in the Star Wars timeline. That's got a second season. And then Visions is the anime story put together by different artists. So you have probably about a dozen, I think there were, of different anime style versions of the Star Wars universe. And some were right on storyline, some were off on their own storyline, yet they were very good. You definitely recognize the Star Wars influences and everything.
Yep.
It was, I've mentioned this before, my boyfriend is a huge anime fan and a Star Wars fan. So this was right up his alley. Each episode was done by a different Japanese anime studio. So I'm super, super excited that, not as excited as I am about Ahsoka, but I'm super excited about a season two for Visions. I think it's a great way to put intermix, because also with the Star Wars High Republic books, they have some manga, which is like, I always get manga and light novels confused. My boyfriend yells at me all the time because he reads them. But basically, like, it's going to be, it's graphic novels. There's two of them, and it's part of the Star Wars High Republic storyline. So they're incorporating a lot of Japanese influences into some Star Wars canon, which I love.
It's a great time to be a Star Wars fan. That's all I'm going to say.
Oh, no doubt. And it kind of goes back to day one, where didn't George Lucas base A New Hope on the movie made by the Japanese director in the 50s about the last
Samurai? Lots of influence from there. Absolutely.
Yeah. So it kind of like comes around full circle. It's crazy. Okay, so a lot to look forward to in the Star Wars world. But you know what? There was another big announcement in the last week in the Walt Disney World. And that announcement was annual passes have returned to the parks. Not if you have one already, you can buy a new one and renew it. But you can buy brand new annual passes now. They just started, actually. We're recording tonight on the on 420 on Thursday. And basically, we went to the site to get information, and there is right now a wait to buy annual passes. There was 1 hour wait where they had a page with a little timer on it to wait to see if you can get onto it. And we didn't wait.
It's crazy.
Did you get any of the prices before we went there?
I did. And I'll mention them. Morgan, you can chime in with what each of these means. Yep. At the low level is the Disney Pixie Dust Pass, which is $400.
And Florida resident only, and it's only Monday through Friday.
Okay. So that's why it's only $400. And by the way, there are payment options for each of these, right?
Zero if you're a Florida resident.
Okay.
That's all right. Okay.
The Pirate Pass is $750.
Also for Florida residents, and this is going to have the highest amount of blackout dates.
Okay. The Sorcerer's Pass is $969 plus tax, of course.
So this is for DVC members and, again, Florida residents only. Give you a little bit less blackout dates.
And the last one is the Disney Incredipass, which is $1,400.
I love the name of it. I hate the price.
Yeah. It is for everybody. Whether or not you are Florida resident DVC or you live anywhere else.
And there's no blackouts for that one, correct?
No blackouts whatsoever.
So we have to recalculate the cutoff price of a 10-day 11-day pass versus a annual pass again. And we'll come back with that information down the road too.
Yeah, it's always interesting. And it's those blackout dates. But I'll be honest with you, those days that are blacked out are the busiest dates there. And I don't necessarily want to be there then.
And I agree. Yeah. That. They're usually the Christmas, the 4th of July. Christmas
and spring break, which we just came off of.
Yep.
Which is fine.
And honestly, like, you also have to factor in, if you were doing the Memory Maker, you have to add an extra $99 for the year, obviously, that plus tax. That is an
extra $100, yep.
So you got that. And if you want the water park option, that's another $100. So these aren't the flat fees.
Right. Are they ever?
Yeah. Which, no. Speaking of annual passes, I got an interesting email today. It was a survey for pass holders from the Walt Disney Company.
Interesting.
Asking questions like, you know, do you feel valued as part of the Disney family? Do you feel like you're getting your money's worth? Are you going to renew? Like, how long?
Interesting.
So they are definitely looking into and doing these surveys, trying to see how to improve pass holders. That's how I'm interpreting the survey.
I hope they actually use that. That'd be great.
I mean, they should just listen to my feedback.
Use it. Well, absolutely. You would be the only people. It's interesting that annual passes are back. It makes you wonder what's happening, right? Are they just ready for to reopen the floodgates? And Ed, we speculated, are they going to sell out? Are they going to put a limit on how many are going to be sold? I mean, there's an hour-long wait to purchase one when we first went on there. It'll be interesting to see what happens.
And that wait's been like that all day. I've been checking on and off all day.
And I didn't realize there was a limited amount, too, though.
Well, so I don't know that there is. I'm speculating to some extent.
Yeah, no, that makes sense, too. They have to be able to control it somewhat, especially when you get the leeway. Now, something else, considering annual passes – happened last week also, or a week before, where I think where you can now go into the parks after 2 without a park reservation.
Or yes, that happened, I think, on the 18th. But so if you're an annual pass holder, you can go into any park without a park reservation after 2 p.m., except for Magic Kingdom on the weekends.
And this was something we knew, we did know was coming. So we knew, I want to say, last month.
Yeah, we knew it was coming. So. It's cool.
Cool. So now another thing going on down in the parks, and we talked about this last month a little bit, but now that it's actually open to everybody, the Tron ride down in the Magic Kingdom. What's the name of that guy again? I keep forgetting the full name.
It is the Tron Light Cycle Run.
TLR. Okay, very good.
TLCR. Tron Light Cycle Run.
Isn't Light Cycle Power Run.
Is power in there?
I believe so. I am Googling right now.
Either way, it's fine. Tron Light Cycle Run.
It'll always be the Tron ride to me, and that works fine. And it's open to everybody. However, it is a virtual pass.
It is virtual queue only, virtual queue or Lightning Lane for purchase. So today, right now, and I will throw this out there because we just said you can hop to a park after 2 o'clock without a park reservation. To get a virtual queue, you need to have a park reservation for the park. Virtual queues are still in place for Guardians of the Galaxy Cosmic Rewind, and now for Tron, you need a park pass for that park, Epcot or Magic Kingdom. It's the same old at 7 a.m. You need to be already in the app, refreshing your screen, ready to hit that blue button that says join virtual queue. Don't even read what it says. Make sure before 7 a.m., I mean, check the night before, go into the app, go to virtual queue, confirm your party, meaning make sure everyone that is staying with you is linked to your account so that one person can control that and join you all to the virtual queue. Continue to refresh by swiping down that screen at 6:59. When 7 o'clock hits, it's going to turn blue and say join queue. Don't even read it. If you read it, you waited too long. Hit that join queue, you'll get joined in. It goes that fast.
Yes.
That's how you got to do it. Now, on the flip side, hope that you get it. If you don't get it, you could then decide to purchase the Lightning Lane for either of those attractions. It will most likely be available because that is available starting at 7 a.m. to purchase as well. So you can buy it. Those prices are fluctuating based on the day. In addition, if you're in the park and you miss it, you have to be in Magic Kingdom or Epcot. You can attempt to join at 1 p.m. if everything went good through the day and it's still available. So that's your secondary, but you have to be in the park. You can't do this from outside of the park. And I would recommend that you are not in a queue, not in a line. You're someplace where you can go through the same process at 1 o'clock to join that queue.
I tell you what, one of the most entertaining things is being on a ride. I think I was on, maybe it was Soarin', when people got their Guardians passes. You could see everybody celebrating at like 101.
Because yeah, exactly.
They got passes. They were like, yeah.
Everybody now, I will add one other thing to this. There is also now Extra Magic evening hours, which is only available, and Morgan, correct me if I'm wrong, it is Disney Resort guests staying in a deluxe or above resort.
I was looking at that the other day, and I think there's a bunch of other hotels that are included with the extra hours afterwards.
Not the values.
Right, exactly.
It's but not the values. It may be moderates or above. Either way, if there is Extra Magic in Magic Kingdom or Epcot, the virtual queue opens for those people to qualify at 6 p.m. Again, you have to be in the park for that extra time. So you got the 7 a.m., get out of bed, get in the line, and then go back to sleep if you need to. Then at 1 o'clock, if you're in the park, then if there is the evening Extra Magic, 6 p.m. So that's three potential opportunities.
And you can always look out. They had a really good day, and you're going to get a ride very quickly.
That's right.
You never know.
And you can either way, you can only get in the virtual queue once per day. You can't get in it twice.
Now, something else that we had wondered about before Tron opened up was what's going to happen, because up till now, Disney has only had one virtual queue attraction at a time.
That's right.
They are moving on, because right now, Guardians of the Galaxy is still a virtual queue. And now Tron is also a virtual queue. So in the morning, what you're going to do is, if you have that park reservation, you will now have two choices of which place you're going to go.
You have to have the park pass, but you can only have one of them.
And I was thinking, why don't they do that for all four parks? Give me Rise of the Resistance. Rise of the Resistance at Hollywood Studios, and then Flight of Passage at Animal Kingdom. We have one per park. We can get our virtual queue lines. We don't have to wake up at 6 o'clock in the morning to get over there for rope drop, and we don't have to wait online for 3 hours. Universal does it well. The only thing I could say really positive at the Universal Studios is they got that whole virtual queue thing down.
Yep.
So something to think about down the road, and we'll see. We will see.
Yeah, and remember, Genie Plus is still an option. I will mention that during spring break, it had reached $35 per person for Genie Plus.
What's it in? What's in the off season? How much is it?
It went to $20 now after spring break. So it's $15 more a person. I mean, that can change things for a family of four or five. But
that's with everything now, though. That's with the price of restaurants.
That's true.
That's with the price of a ticket to get a one-day ticket into the park is based on when you're going now. It could be a range of $20-$25 from the low to the top end of that.
Yeah.
It's just the craziness of different times of the year where they're almost like trying to not have you come during the summer.
I think what they're attempting to do is make sure those that purchase it get the best possible experience. And because if everybody buys it, then nobody has it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I guess.
That's the thought. Now, along those lines, if you do buy it, remember 7 a.m., you can get in that first virtual queue or first lightning lane, get that headliner attraction at any park. It doesn't have to be the one you're going to. If you have a hopper, you can get the Toy Story Mania, which is going to be later in the evening. Go to Epcot and every 2 hours, get your lightning lane. Set your alarm if you have to. Don't miss one because you're paying top dollar for it. Sure. Every 2 hours, get one. And it doesn't have to be the park you're in. You can get one for somewhere else.
Yeah.
Good advice. Awesome advice. Yeah. So we're definitely going to be taking advantage of that when we get down there again. I'm looking forward to it. And there's definitely better parks to use the Genie than others. So
I point out that you're not buying it for the park. You're buying it for Walt Disney World. So you may, and I've done this. I had stacked up lightning lanes at Hollywood Studios, because now you can change the timing on it later. You can change it and make it later. We went to Epcot, wrote a couple of things, then went to Hollywood Studios and had them all lined up, and it was wonderful.
Very cool.
It's also $15 a person times however many people it. So but it's, you got a trade off.
Yeah.
Right, and you're getting on the rides, and that's what's,
that's right.
It depends on the day.
That's what I keep telling myself, Ed.
Now, before we get away, before we get too far away from Tron, it's been a bunch of weeks since you both were on it.
Yeah.
What do you remember? What's still sticking in your mind about what was so great about that attraction?
Morgan, I'll let you go first.
I mean, first thing that drew me, I knew there was going to be an issue for me as far as getting on the actual ride vehicle, getting on the light cycle. I was so happy there was an alternative. Because I was able to sit in the back seat. Three of the eight cars are going to have that. That just gives a lot more flexibility for people that can't be accommodated on those light cycles. And me and Sam, while we were down there, had the whole like, maybe the ride's better in the back. And he's like, no, the ride's better in the front. We had a whole debate about the optimal seating, which row you should be on.
So lucky to have that debate.
Yes.
Yeah, no, seriously, guys. Without knowing the ride itself, I would have to say on this one, the front, just so you're seeing everything in your face. As far as it being the back seat, isn't that normally what the roller coaster does? So you whip around. That's not that big.
But it's more when you're in the back, you see the other cars and you can actually see some of the visuals better, because the goal is you're getting through eight gates before the bad guys, right?
Yeah.
It's that thing. And when you're in the front seat, you don't even realize you went through the gate. When you're in the back, you see it light up and then the car goes under it.
So good point. That's awesome.
It's different. Yeah.
Good to know. So it's been open a couple of weeks, and we're all looking forward to getting on it, but it is virtual. So you got to take your chances, or like
virtual queue. It's, you know, and it still gets the, oh, it's too short. Let me point out that it's longer than the Rocket Roller Coaster. You've all been spoiled by the length of Guardians of the Galaxy. Let's just leave it at that.
Yeah. I thought the time, the amount of the ride was perfect.
Yeah.
Like
it's longer than Rocket Roller Coaster start to finish.
Yeah, I mean, I heard all the things before we went down, that it was too short. And honestly, there was a couple of times that it would dip and I was like, okay, the ride's over. And you kept going.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, because you expected the short.
Yeah, I didn't feel like it was too short. I thought it was perfect.
Ed, I'm going to answer a question, even though you're ready to move on. I love the queue.
Oh, no, that's where I was going. I was going there and merch next. So you're
perfect. I love that queue. Just when you go in there and boom. The and it's awesome. It's just cool.
And I'll just also, leave it at that. One cool thing that they're finally thinking a little extra is the lockers. Locker system is awesome.
Good.
If you're on a light cycle, you can't have the backpack strapped to your back and all this stuff. And they have locker systems where you can put your stuff in and you don't have to walk back to where you put it in. The locker opens from the back as well. So
the key is your magic band. So you have it with you. Just tap it. It opens.
Super smart.
Awesome.
Beautiful. I love that. I can't wait to try it out. That's for sure. Now, I tell you what, don't forget, there is always that rope drop option for everything else. Other than these two virtual queue rides, I guarantee it. If you're at the park a half hour, 45 minutes before rope drop, you will get on the best ride in the park that doesn't have a virtual queue.
Yeah,
I want to add to that for a second. My son just got back. They were staying at the All-Stars. And the morning extra magic, any Disney resort gets in. So it works for the All-Stars.
But it's only a half hour, so you got it.
But that half an hour allowed them to get to studios, walk past the line of people waiting to get in, and walk straight into the pre-show of Rise of Resistance.
Yeah. I agree with that. I totally agree with that. You will
that get that was just being able that half an hour let you pass all those people that were waiting and any Disney resort.
And what's cool about that is that after you ride Rise of Resistance, now it's about 9 o'clock. Everybody else is coming in, going to Rise of Resistance. You can get to Mickey Minnie's train.
Yep.
You can get to Falcon. You could go back to Sunset Boulevard. And when both of those rides are open, easily ride Tower of Terror and Rock and Roller Coaster.
Yeah, they got off and went straight on to Millennium Falcon. Into the pre-shows.
You're right, because I kind of made fun of it only being a half hour. But that half hour, that will get you on a couple major rides. And then you can kind of relax a little bit and do some like calm stuff at Hollywood Studios while everybody else is scrambling.
Yep.
The early lunch comes in or something like
that. And everybody listening to this will do that, by the way. These are all our people.
That's just not what I'm there. Okay. Do it every other day.
We'll make it. There's lots of room on the first train, but nobody else. Don't tell everybody.
Yep. Okay. So now some other news came out, and it was the new dates for the Epcot Food and Wine Festival. And they're pretty incredible because they go a long, long time. What were those dates, Morgan?
Food and wine.
They are July 27th through October 18th, which I think is a little shorter. It starts a little later in July.
They cut it earlier. You're right.
Yeah.
They think they went into November. They definitely went into November before because our meetups always had the last week or the second to last weekend.
Of yep. Week.
Well, so in Epcot, historically, when you get to the holiday season, your flower and garden festival is ending, and like the next weekend, right? It ends on a Sunday, and that next weekend, you're ready for festival holidays. It's like turn it around as fast as you can because you're in October. They want to get to the candlelight processional and all those other things. Yep. Last year, they sort of did the same thing in July, moving from flower and garden to food and wine festival. It was a right. 1 week cutover. Now with these new dates, most of July is not going to have a festival. Flower and Garden ends July the 5th, if I remember right. And Morgan, you just said this one starts July 27th. So that's a good 3 weeks with no festival.
Yep. Yeah, well, looking at the calendar. Yep.
I'm hoping that's going to allow Food and Wine to open up with all the kiosks.
You know what? I love that. Yep.
Because it has the last couple of years opened up with probably about 2/3 or less of the kiosks. And you definitely miss out on a couple of good ones if they're not open at the time you're in the parks in July or August or whenever.
Or is this going to be a thing that Disney does? Is they're not going to open up, regardless of when it starts, they're not going to open up all the booths to try to entice you to come back second time.
Sure. They're changing menus in some of them. That was a thing last year and this year.
Which is great.
It's one of the big things they talk about for the Flower and Garden Festival with the length that it is. Horticulture talks about the fact that they change the flowers in the festival blooms, which are the flowers around the lagoon when you first walk in, sort of that causeway between, you know, World Celebration and World Showcase. Mm-hmm. They change those three times during the festival. Every flower gets swapped out three times.
Yeah.
And they change the type of flower based on the heat of the season. It's crazy what they put into it. Then food started, the outdoor kitchen started talking about changing out the menu based on early spring versus mid spring versus late spring. So they definitely want to keep you coming back.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
And just as a reminder, Flower and Garden is going on right now.
Yep.
And for the next couple months. So if you are close or going to the parks, look forward to it.
Till July.
And speaking of, you guys were both in there and you've seen some of the things they had. Did something really stand out or was it just kind of generally all around good?
There's still construction walls around Epcot, but a lot less than there previously had been.
Did you see any updates for Moana while you guys were there?
If you ride the monorail, you can see Tifi. What's her name? On my
blank. Tafiti.
Tafiti. Thank you so much.
Oh,
you can
so
see
cool.
her if you're on the monorail. Yeah. She's in there.
The last I heard is fall now for the opening of this.
The opening, don't know. We know that you got
early
Dreamers
fall. Today. Is yeah. what we're being told.
Okay, so Dreamers Point. Maybe during the festival then. You got Dreamers Point's coming, the Walt statue, and you got Moana's Journey to Water. And you also have that new festival stage that's going to be there, which just brings us so many questions. Because you're basically talking about it's going to be near where the old Starbucks was, the Fountain View. That's now a stage area where they're going to have festival entertainment. I don't know if that ultimately replaces what they used to call the stage in front of the fountain that was there.
I think it was Fountain View Stage or something.
I think
like
it was
that.
Fountain View Stage. They're kind of putting it on the side. So is that going to be for your festival performers? Does that replace what's going on in American Garden? Probably not. I mean, your Eat to the Beat concerts are still going to happen back there, I would expect.
But remember, during festivals, it's not just the bands and the artists performing in American Gardens. You know, for the arts festival, you have painters performing on
Absolutely.
What was the Fountain View.
Visual artists, yep.
So you're going to have those, like, side entertainment venues probably performing there.
Yeah, Festival Holiday is a great example. They have the gospel choir.
I was exactly going to say that.
Yeah, it's a good example.
Yeah, I was going to say them exactly.
I love that.
Very cool.
So it's cool. There's stuff happening. Nice. But we're getting close to Epcot finally being done.
Yeah.
Right.
I think that's awesome.
And speaking of that, I did see some pictures of Harmonious which was being dismantled in the backstage area, where the entire all the floats are gone. I haven't seen.
Well, they're not all gone yet, but they are. So Nick just got back, right?
Okay, that's what
he said. He said the big barge is still in the middle, and there are three small ones. I said, okay, that's a start.
Yeah. Actually, today
they took the second one out.
I was on social media and saw a photo of the circle gone.
Nice.
Oh,
nice.
Good.
Nice. So,
and I tell you, that to me was the hardest part about Harmonious was that it was the eyesore for all day.
Yeah,
for the hour show at night.
We talked about this on the live show this week. That because like one thing I made a point to do last month was go and watch Harmonious for the last time.
Yes.
You know, I didn't hate Harmonious. Is it my favorite nighttime show? No.
No.
But I felt like I needed to go watch it one last time. And one thing we're saying is, you know, honestly, if the fountains were going on during the day, it was a little bit more eye pleasing.
Sure. And I did see those once. I did see them on.
Yeah. So
I agree with that. Although it might not have been enough, to be honest with you, but it was still something.
Listen, and I don't know, have you guys seen World of Color? And
I wish. I so wish.
Look,
it could be
the lagoon is gorgeous all day long, and the fountains come up on hydraulics out of the water, and it's a beautiful show. It's phenomenal, and that's everything that we thought Harmonious was going to be, and that wasn't it. And that's what this lagoon needs. And
For those who haven't seen that show, the closest I can come as far as a Walt Disney equivalent would be the show at Hollywood Studios that just came back.
Fantasmic.
Oh, Fantasmic. Right, exactly. Yeah.
Fantasmic.
Very close. Without the huge stage, but yes.
Right.
Yes.
Without the stage, the light show in front where they animate on top of the water.
Yep.
And you have a big light show around that on top of it.
Yeah.
But now you have a whole lagoon doing that. Very cool. Very fun show.
Well,
I'll leave it at that.
And hopefully by the time for the meetup, we'll have the new show.
Yeah, that would be awesome. I remember talking about this a couple of years ago. Is Harmonious going to be back for the meet? Oh my gosh, that's deja vu right there.
That's right. We'll be set up.
Oh,
It sounds like we have a chance for November when we have our meetups, having a great opportunity to have that whole new area of Epcot, the new show, perhaps almost everything all set. Magic Kingdom, we're still going to be building the new Splash Mountain, which is Tiana's place.
Bayou Adventure.
And it's Bayou Adventure.
They confirmed a couple weeks ago that who's Grandma Odie or Odie?
Mama Odie
is going to be involved inside. And I could see one scene being her in her house with all the glass and all the colors. So that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
That ends up being that. Which also leads some credence that we might still have a restaurant switch. We're going to keep track of that.
I think we are. I think it's inevitable. It's happening in Disneyland.
So we will see.
I still think that whatever podcast episode, I think it was Ed, me, you, and Melissa, and we imagineered, redesigned Adventureland to kind of be the bayou.
Sure. It's easy to do.
If that happens, they listen to that episode. That's all I got to say.
Sure. Or that could prohibit her from doing it since we already told them.
Yeah. I still want to know what's beyond Big Thunder. I see everybody redesigning all the things that are there. What's beyond Big Thunder? Still want to know. Anyway, sorry. Yeah,
we will see. Okay, guys. So what do you think? What did we miss, or what do you have more questions about that's new at Walt Disney World or with anything in the Disney company? Let us know. Send us an email. Ask us a question. Join our Facebook group and put your question in there. Any way to get in touch with us, we're happy to help out and answer any questions. Jimmy, tell everybody how to get in touch with the show.
He's been here the whole time.
You can email us at questions at thedisneynerdspodcast.com and email us individually at ed@thedisneynerdspodcast.com, jimmy@thedisneynerdspodcast.com, etc. You can send us a message on Facebook to the page, The Disney Nerds Podcast. Join our group, Disney Nerds, Instagram at The Disney Nerds Podcast, and Twitter at The Disney Nerds. Make sure to check out the website, www.thedisneynerdspodcast.com, and watch the live stream every Tuesday night at 9 o'clock Walt Disney World time.
Okay, guys. So that's it for show number 482. Catching up on all the news in Walt Disney World. I hope you had a great time. And for Sam, for Morgan, this is Ed, and we're the Disney Nerds, and we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Congaloosh.
Have a magical night. Hakuna Matata.
What a wonderful day. Oh, happy 25th anniversary, Animal Kingdom.
Yeah.
Hakuna Matata, you reminded
me. Happy Earth Day.
Compulsory. Mortals pay a token fee. Rest in peace.